be.
Beginning with the last few words on the bottom of Samach Zayin Amid Beis. In the Mishnah, we had learned that Rabbi Akiva had said over in the name of Rabbi Yeshua concerning the difference between Maisa Kshofim, that's true a Maisa, and Achizav Inayim, that's not true a Maisa. So on this, the Gemara asks, Vahar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua, Gomala. Did Rabbi Akiva learn concerning Maisa Kshofim? Did he learn it from Rabbi Yeshua? Vahar Tanya will learn it in a Braisa. Kishachol Rabbi Eliezer, when Rabbi Eliezer got sick, Nichnasu Rabbi Akiva Vachadeir of Levakroi. Rabbi Akiva and the Chaveirim came to visit Mivakachayla Rabbi Eliezer. Who Yeshev Bekin of Shaloi? He was sitting, Rabbi Eliezer was sitting in the bed with a canopy. The Hain Yeshvin Betraklin Shaloi. And they were sitting in the entrance chamber into his room. The Oisei Hayoim Erev Shabbat Hoya. And that day was Erev Shabbat. The Nichnas Hurkinis Benoi. So Hurkinis, the son of Rabbi Eliezer, came into the room. Lachwei Tzilov, to take off the tefillin from Rabbi Eliezer. And as Rashi explains, because Hyrkanus held that Shabbos is not the Zman of Tefillin, it is no mitzvah to wear Tefillin on Shabbos, and therefore it is also to wear Tefillin on Shabbos, because we are afraid that he is going to wear them out into the street, and that is considered carrying, according to the Man d'Omer, Shabbos is not the time of Tefillin. So Hyrkanus wanted to remove the Tefillin from Rabbi Eliezer. Garboy Rabbi Eliezer rebuked him, the Yotze ben Azifa. So Hyrkanus left the room feeling reprimanded. Omar lohen l'chaveirov, on the way out, he commented to the chaveirim, Kimeduma ani, it appears to me, shedaitei shal abod nitrofa, that the mind of my father, Rabbi Eliezer, is no longer clear, and it seems that he's close to death, because why would he be angry at me that I wanted to remove his tefillin? It's not proper to wear tefillin on Shabbat. Omar lohen, however, Rabbi Eliezer told them, daitoi v'das imoy nitrofa, that it is the mind of Hyrkanus and his mother, Rabbi Eliezer's wife, that is not clear. Why did they leave alone and forget about taking care of those things that need to be done before Shabbos, when if you would do them on Shabbos, an Issa Skila would be involved? And as Rashi explains, we are talking about the lighting of the candles and the preparing of the food, the cooking of the food, that if one would do that on Shabbos as an Issa Skila, and Rabbi Eliezer had observed that those weren't done yet, and he was taking care, he was concerning himself with removing tefillin, that the tefillin itself, even if one would wear the tefillin on Shabbos, and even if one would actually wear the tefillin into the Rishus HaRabim, there would be no Issa Skila, because since he is wearing on his body, it is not actually carrying, it would only be an Asa D'Rabbanan a Shvus. So Rabbi Eliezer said that they are concerning themselves with the Isurei Shvus, with the Issa D'Rabbanan, before they are taking care of the more important things, the preparations of Shabbos that have to do with an Issa Skila. The Ran explains, and this Pshat is actually referred to in Taisus, that this episode took place late Friday afternoon, and Rabbi Eliezer's family was very late in the Shabbos preparations because they were busy taking care of Rabbi Eliezer. Since it was very late, therefore Rabbi Eliezer held that they first should light the candles, first should be madlik the ner, which involves an Issa Skila. However, the Ran says, under normal circumstances, hadlokas ner comes to the last of the Shabbos preparations. As it says in the Mishnah in the Mehmed Likin, in the list of questions that a person is supposed to ask his family when it comes close to Shabbos, if they took care of these preparations, it says, Isartem, did you give Meiser? Eiravtem, did you take care of the Eruv? And then finally, hadlokas ner. So we see that the lighting of the candle comes last. And that is the reason Hyrkanus came in to remove the tefillin from Eliezer first, before the other preparations, as was his custom on every Erev Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer, however, whose mind was clear and realized how late it was, how close to Shabbos it had become, rebuked his son that under the circumstances, we must take care of the Issa Skila first, and only then the Issa Shvus. Continues the Gemara with the Maaser, Kivin Sharol Chachamim Shedaitim Yisheves Olav. So since all the Chachamim saw how clear the mind of Rabbi Eliezer was, Nichnasu, they entered V'yashvu Lefonov Meirochoi Dal Ramis. But they sat in front of Rabbi Eliezer, Dal Ramis away. And as Rashi explains, because Rabbi Eliezer had been put in Cherem, there's a Gemaisa in the Gemara B'Metzia with a certain Machoikas that Rabbi Eliezer had, and because of that, Rabbi Eliezer was put in Nidui. And if somebody is in Nidui, so the Chachamim, the Chaderim, have to sit Dal Ramis away. So Amar Lehem, so Rabbi Eliezer asked them, Loma Bosem, why have you come? So Amu Lai, they answered, Lumoid Taira Banu, we have come to learn Taira from you. Amar Lehem, about Achshav, Loma Le Bosem, until now, why haven't you come? Amulei lahaya lanu pnai. So they answered him that we didn't have time to come. The Yad Ramah explained that actually that wasn't the reason, but the reason they didn't come was because of the nidui. However, because of Rabbi Eliezer's kavod, so they told him that the reason they didn't come was because they didn't have time. Amar lahen, so then he told them, Tmi ani, I would be surprised im yamusu misas atzma, if these people will die a natural death, meaning they will die because of unnatural causes. Amar lahen Rabbi Akiva, shali mahu, what will be with me? Amar lahen shalacha kashem shalahen, that your death will be worse than all of them. And as Rashi explains, that he told them that since you had a greater potential of understanding, and you could have gotten more from me, so since you didn't, so your death will be worse than theirs. Not thou shteizra oisav. Rabbi Eliezer took his two arms, v'hi nichon alibay, and he put them on his heart. Omar, and he said, oilochem shteizra oisai. Woe is to my two arms. Shehen kishtei sifrei teirish neglowin. They are like two sifrei teirah that are rolled up. And just like when a Sefer Torah is rolled up, the words of the Sefer Torah are covered, so too Rabbi Eliezer was bemoaning that with his death, his Torah would be covered up because no one had learned from him. Harbei Torah limadati, I learned much Torah from our Rebbeim, v'harbei Torah limadati, and I taught much Torah. Harbei Torah limadati, I learned much Torah, but v'loi chosarti mirabosai, I did not take away from their Torah, afilu kekelev hamalakek minayam, even like a dog who is licking from the sea, and with his licking he is not really diminishing at all the water in the sea. And as Rashi explains, what he meant to say was, when I first started learning from our Rebbeim, they were so much greater than me. But even after I learned, I took from them so little that the distance between us remained, and I did not diminish at all the distance between us. That's what he meant by Harbei Torah Limadati. And he also said, Harbei Torah Limadati, I also taught much Torah, and the same thing, my Talmidim have not diminished the distance between us. They took so little from me. Only like the tube that a person dips into the paint, when he takes out with one dip the amount of paint that goes into the tube, that's the amount how much they were able to take from me. I learned 300 halachos but Beheres Aza concerning a certain nega in Dinei Tzaraas. And there was no one who ever asked me concerning those halachos. I have also learned 300 halachos. But Amri learned, some say, 3,000 halachos benetias kishuim, concerning the plantings of the cucumbers. In other words, the kshafim, how for kishif one can cause the entire field to be filled up with cucumbers. And there was no one who ever asked me concerning those halachos, chutz mi Akiva ben Yosef, except for Akiva ben Yosef. Pamachas anivuhu mahalchin hayinu b'derech. One time we were both going on the way. Amalei, so he told me, Rebbe, lamdeini benetias kishuin, teach me concerning the kshafim, how two kshafim one can plant the kishuin. Amarti dover echot, I said something, nismalo kol asod the kishuin. So the field was filled up with kishuin. On Mali, then he told me, Rebbe, Limaritani Nitiyosan, you have taught me concerning their planting. Lamdeni Akirosan, now show me how through Kishif one can gather them up. On Marti Dover Echot, I said another thing, Niskabtu Kulon Lamokam Echot. They were all gathered into the same place. So now the Talmidim, the Chaverim, who was sitting by Beliezer, asked him certain halachos before he died. Amrulay, so they asked him about certain types of Kalim, whether they are makabel tuma. Concerning these types of kelim, we have a machlokes in Maseches Kelim. If they are makabel tuma, all these are leather kelim, which are filled with some type of stuffing, either wool or made out of hair. The machlokes revolved around the fact that a leather keli is only makabel tuma if it has a base kibble. That means that it has a receptacle which can hold something. So the kelim in question, first of all, was a kador. That was a ball made out of leather with a woolen stuffing, or an amum, that was a form used by the shoe manufacturers on which the person formed the shoe. So this is made out of leather with an inside of hair, hakamiya. Rashi explains this as a decorative amulet made out of leather and was filled inside. Utsror hamargolios. There was a certain sack of leather inside which was filled with certain pearls, which were
put on the behemoth's neck for a refuah. Umashkelis katana, which was a small weight, and this weight had to be protected in order that it shouldn't get worn down and not be reliable anymore, so it was put inside a leather sack. So concerning all these kelim, Rabbi Eliezer holds that a base kibble, which is made to be filled up, and it is made to be closed up, is still considered a base kibble, and these kelim are makabel tumah. The Chachamim, however, argue that since it is made to be filled with a filling and a stuffing, it is considered a leather keli without a base kibble, and is not makabel tumah. That's one machlokes concerning these types of kelim. A second machlokes between these two tanoim concerns itself with these leather kelim that if they tore, and their inside was opened up, in which case the Rabbanan would agree that it's makabel tumah, because now it has a base kibble, something could be put inside. However, there's a machlokes concerning the tevila of these kelim in the mikvah. How one, if these kelim were makabel tumah, how one could make these kelim tohar? The Chachamim hold that the stuffing inside the keli is a chatzitza. It prevents the mikvah water from touching the inside of the keli when it is immersed in the mikvah, thus rendering the tevila invalid. Because we know that in order to be tevil something in the mikvah, it has to be free from any chatzitzah, from any separations, from any foreign matter which is separating that which is being tevilled and the mikvah water. So the Chachamim hold that this stuffing which is inside the keli, now the keli is ripped open, is considered a chatzitza between the mikvah and the inside of the keli. Rabbi Eliezer holds that the inside is not a chatzitza because it is all considered one keli. So since it's one keli, so the whole keli is entering into the mikvah. So just before Rabbi Eliezer died, the chaverim were asking him whether he still maintained his shita in these two machlokes in, or whether he had charata from any of his shitas. So Amar lahen. So first of all, Rabbi Eliezer answered them and said, "Hein tmeim," that they are tummy, meaning that they would be makabel tumah. Concerning the first machlokes, whether it's considered a base kibble or not, so Rabbi Eliezer says, "I still maintain that it is a base kibble and it would be makabel tumah." And then Rabbi Eliezer told them concerning the second machlokes of whether the stuffing is considered a chatzitza or not. So he told them that the taharofan b'meshahein, that the way they become tahor is just like they are. That the inside is not considered a chatzitza, and he did not have charata from that shita either. Then they asked him a second shayla. Mino sha'ogabi ha'im mahu. What about the shoe that is on the form? This is a question when a shoe is considered to be a finished product. Because a keli that is being manufactured is only makabel tumah after it is completely finished. The shoe in question is one that is still on the form. So the Chachamim hold that even though it still requires removal from the form, but that removal doesn't require any skill. Anyone could do it. So it is therefore considered finished, and even while it's on the form, it can already be makabel tumah. Rabbi Eliezer argues and holds that it is not yet considered a finished keli until its removal. So now by Yisro Rabbi Eliezer, what about his shita concerning mino shalgabi ha'imim? Is it makabel tumah or not? So amalehen hu tohar. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, I still maintain that it's tohar, that it's not a finished keli. The yotza nishmasa b'tayra, and his neshama left him from tayra. The Aruch Neir learns that this, what the Gemara says, yotza nishmasa b'tayra, is specifically the word tohar, that he had said the word tohar, pure, and then he died. And because of this, as we'll see in the next Gemara, the Chachamim were matir his nidui. They removed his status of being in Cherem. Because the Aruch Neir brings from the Avos de Rav Nosson, where this Maisa is brought in a little bit of a different version, and there it says that the Chachamim asked him questions of Tumah and Taira, and on some of them he answered Tameh, and on some he answered Tohar, and they were testing to see if this Neshama would leave after the word Tameh, or after the word Tohar. And when they saw that it left with the word Tohar, so they realized that he was actually a Tardik, a person, and they were matter his nidri. As the Gemara now continues, Omar Rabbi Yeshua Raglov, but Omar Hutar HaNeder, Hutar HaNeder. So after Rabbi Eliezer died, Rabbi Yeshua got up and said that the Neder is removed, that his status of being in Cherem is removed. L'maytzoi Shabbos, after Shabbos, when they were taking Rabbi Eliezer to be buried, Pogaboy Rabbi Kiva met the Orain as is being carried, Min Kisri Lulud, It was being carried from Kisri to Lutz. Out of the great anguish that he felt because Rabbi Eliezer had died, he banged on his flesh until his blood started flowing to the ground. And he began to say a hesped on Rabbi Eliezer, b'shura, as the chachamim were gathered around Rabbi Eliezer's body. And he applied the pasuk that Elisha applied when Eliyahu died. And he said, Avi, Avi, Lechev Yisrael Parasha. My father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. Harbe mois yeshli. I have much money, the ain li shulchani lahatsaisan. And I do not have a banker that will change them. In other words, as Rashi explained, I have many shaylas in Torah, and I have no one who will now be able to answer those shaylas. So this is the maisa that the Gemara brings. So from this maisa now, the Gemara asks, Alma, Rabbi Eliezer Gomra, we see from this maisa that Rabbi Eliezer had said that he had taught Akiva concerning the halachos of Kishuv when it comes to the Kishuim. So why does our Mishnah say that Rabbi Akiva learned it from Rabbi Yeshua? We see from over here Rabbi Akiva learned it from Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara answers Gomra and Rabbi Eliezer. First, Rabbi Akiva learned it from Rabbi Eliezer, v'loy sovra, but he didn't understand it thoroughly. Hada Gomra and Rabbi Yeshua v'az b'ni alei. And then, subsequently, he learned it from Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua taught it to him, and then he understood it. So that's why our Mishnah says that Rabbi Akiva said over in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, even though first he had learned it from Rabbi Eliezer, but he only understood it when he learned it from Rabbi Yeshua. Continues the Gemara and he asks, Heichi Ovid Hachi, how did Rabbi Eliezer, in the Maaser that the Gemara brought, where it says Rabbi Eliezer was going with Rabbi Akiva on the way, and he said words of Kishuv, and caused first the field to be planted with Kishuim, and then the field to be gathered up all the Kishuim, the Heichi Ovid Hachi, how was Rabbi Eliezer permitted to do that? V'anan t'nan, we learned in the Mishnah, ha'oisa maisa chayav, that if somebody does something through Kishuv, he'll be chayav skiwa. So the Gemara says, l'hislami chayni, that to teach someone the halachos of Kishuv, it is permitted to practice Kishuv. The Amamar, as we learned, l'isumad lasos, it says in the Pasuk in Dvarim, concerning that a person is not allowed to follow in the ways of the Goyim, and do the Kishuv like they do. It says in Pasuk, Sumad, do not learn for them Lasois to practice Kishuv. So from the Pasuk, we have Medayek, Lasois Yatolomet. To do, to practice, you're not allowed to follow in the ways of the Goyim. Aval Atolomet Lohavin Lohairois. But you're allowed to learn and do Kishuv if you're only doing it for the purposes of learning the Halachas or teaching the Halachas. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer was allowed to do it in order to teach Rabbi Akiva the Halachas of Kishuv. Taisus over here asks Akasha, as how was Rabbi Akiva allowed to bang on his basar out of his pain that Rabbi Eliezer had died and caused blood to flow? It says a pasuk in Isser of the seret lanefesh leisitnu b'fsarchem, that someone is not allowed to scratch himself if someone close to him dies and out of pain he expresses his tzar by scratching himself, causing himself to bleed. That is allowed in the Torah. Taisus in Yevamis and Yudgim Lamedeis asks it similarly from a different pasuk. That there the Gemara in Yevamos learns Leisis Gaididu, that Leisis Gaididu we learn out that it's also to make a Chabura al Hameis. So if so, what was the heter of Rabbi Akiva to do this? Taisus over here answers that he was not doing it because of Tzar that Rabbi Eliezer had died. He was doing it because of the Torah that he lost. When Rabbi Eliezer died, he was not able to learn Torah anymore from him. As the Gemara over here says, that he compared it to a banker, he doesn't have a banker with which to get money, so he can't learn his shaylas anymore from him. So the ikat tsar was not on the Rabbi Eliezer's dying, but it was on the terror that he lost. And the explanation of this teretz is, that the whole iser is if someone does it to express his tsar on someone who died. But if he does it because of any other type of tsar, so that's mutter. As is brought a halacha in the Rambam, that if someone scratches himself because of the tsar that his house was burnt, or because of some other financial loss that he incurred, so that would not be also because of this lav. So if somebody makes himself bleed because of his tsar that he lost the Torah, that's not also. Taisus in Yevamos brings another teretz, that the whole lav is only derech srita, that if someone scratches himself, he cuts himself and causes himself to bleed, that's the issur. But derech hakor, but if someone bangs himself, and through banging himself he causes a wound, causing himself to bleed, that's mutter. So it comes out, imachoikas rishayinim, and actually we have many rishayinim that argue the same way these two terutzim argue, because there are rishayinim that paskin, that hakor is mutter, Afilu, if he's doing it on a mace, like Taisus and Yavamis, that only derech Shrit is asur, but Hakol would be mutter, even if it's done on a mace. There are some Rishonim that paskin that Hakol is also asur, that in the lav of Yisrit Usarotez or Laisus Gaidu, Hakol would be included, but the teret has to be that only on the Torah is it mutter, and then if he's doing it for some other tsar, not the tsar of the mace, so then even derech Shrit would be mutter. And the difference is whether it's being done al meisai or it's being done on some other tzad. The Aruch Liner in Yevamos asks a question that Rabbi Akiva himself holds in the Gemara Baba Kama, that it's also for a person to be chayvo ba'atzmai. It's also for a person to cause any wound on himself. So the Aruch Liner asks a very strong question. Because forgetting about the Isurim of Yisrit Usarotes, or Laisis Gaididu, because on those Isurim, one could differentiate either the Teretz of that it's not Al Ameis, or the Teretz is that it's not Derech Shrita, but Rabbi Akiva himself holds that it's also to be Chayvul himself, also Lachbel Ba'atzmai. So, even if he's doing it on the Torah, or he's doing it Derech HaKor, but it's still be over that Isur of Chayvul Ba'atzmai. So the Aruch Lamer says that from the Gemara Baba Kama Tzimashma, that the issur to be chayvul oneself has to do with the issur of Baal Tashchis. So we have to say that since Rabbi Akiva was doing it because of the kavod of Rabbi Eliezer, or because of the kavod of the Torah that he lost, so on this there's no issur Baal Tashchis, because something which is done to express an honor for something, so that is no issur Baal Tashchis, because it's being done for that honor. So that's why the Rishonim are not bothered because of that issur. They're only bothered in the issur of Yisur to Sarotes or Lysis Gaidu. And on those issurim, then we can say the terutzim that Taisus gives, either because of the Torah's difference, or because it wasn't Derech Shrita, but Derech Hakor. The Aruch Liner says that he himself would answer to Taisus Kasha, that the Emet Rabbi Akiva never intended to cause himself to bleed, and he never intended to inflict a wound upon himself, but only because of his great pain he was banging himself, and he didn't even realize, and unintentionally he caused himself to bleed. But actually, as soon as Rabbi Akiva saw that he was bleeding, he stopped from continuing the banging. Then we can't ask a question about the Isurim that's involved, because of course as soon as he saw that it was bleeding, he stopped, because it would be usur to do that. And it was only unintentionally, from the right tzar that he had, that he caused himself to bleed. The Marsha explains the comparison made by Rabbi Akiva between the Eliezer and the Shulchani, and the Marsha says that just like when someone has coins to exchange, if he exchanges them and shows them with anyone but the experienced banker, he will not get the full value, because the other person will not recognize their value. So too Rabbi Akiva said concerning himself. Of course he had Torah, and without the Eliezer he had learned plenty of Torah, but there were parts which were unclear. And without the Eliezer, he was afraid that he would never understand the true value. He would not be able to clarify those parts of Torah. So the Eliezer to him was like the experienced banker who gives him the full value of the coins that he wants to exchange. And now we will begin the next parak, the parak Ben Sera Meira, which deals chiefly with the parsha in the Torah of the Ben Sera Meira, the rebellious son. The basic outline of events is that if this boy steals from his parents' money, with which he buys meat and wine, and then he eats the meat and drinks the wine, so his parents first bring him to Beis Din and he is given Malkus. If he does it a second time, so his parents again bring him to Beis Din and he is put to death through Skila. He has, as of yet, not done anything to warrant such a severe punishment, but as the Mishnah later tells us, Al Shem Seifai Hu Nerag, he is killed because of that which the Torah says he will eventually do. He is developing now a habit of eating meat and drinking wine. And we say that he will finish up his father's money and then have to steal from other people. And eventually it will lead that he will have to kill in order to obtain his money. That the Torah would rather him die while being innocent and not wait until he is actually Chayav Misa. The first Mishnah in the Perek deals with determining the age as when the Parsha of Ben Sera Umayra applies. And now we'll begin the Mishnah. Ben Sera Umayra, among the list of the Chayavei Skila which we had in the previous parak, one of them was the Ben Sera Umayra. And now Mishnah goes on to explain and discuss this Chayav Skila. Me'emos Ainasa Ben Sera Umayra. How old does the boy have to be in order to be in the parsha to be chayiv skila. Mishayavi shtei sairis. It begins from the time that he grows to here. In other words, from the time that he reaches the age of godless, that is considered a gadol, which by definition would mean that he has already reached the age of 13, and besides being 13 years old, he has to have grown to sairis. So that's when he's considered a gadol, and then he can be chayiv skila for doing the things which we mentioned before. Until how long does this last? Ad sheyakev zaken. Until he reaches the age of when his pubic hair becomes very numerous, until the hair grows and it surrounds his aver, and from then on he is no longer in the parsha ben seremayr. It is from the time of two sairis until yakev zaken. The Mishnah goes on to explain itself, hatachtein v'loy ha'elyon, that even though we use the word zaken, which literally means beard, but hatachtein we're referring to the lower hair, v'lo ha'elyon, and not the hair on his face. Elo shedibru chachomim v'loshim nekiya. So why did the chachomim use the word zaken? Because the chachomim express things in a nicer way. And now the Mishnah brings the psukim, which yielded the drasha of those ages that the ben seremayr is limited to that span of time. Shenemar says in pasuk kiyil leish ben. So first the Mishnah brings the drasha ben v'loy bas, that only a son can be considered a ben seremayr, but a daughter would not be chayiv skila. And then the Mishnah brings the drasha, which is relevant to what we've been discussing, ben v'loyish, that since the pasuk expressed it by a ben and didn't call him an ish, so we are limiting it to a certain age. And the Gemara later will explain more in detail of how we know specifically that age. Continues the Mishnah, katan patish le'bol chametz. A katan underneath the age of 13 or before he brought to Cyrus is for sure not included in the parsha, because shaloi bol chametz. A katan is considered a lav bar das, and the Torah does not hold him responsible for any aveiras that he does. He is not chayiv in mitzvot. So a katan would not be chayiv skila. It is only after he's reached the age of godless. However, if the Torah wrote ben instead of ish, the Torah is limiting it to the very beginning of his godless, and as will be explained further in the Gemara. Begins the Gemara, katan minolan depotur. From where do we know that a katan, somebody who's not yet reached the age of godless, how do we know that he's potter from skila and he's not in the parshas ben seremayr? So on this Gemara's kasha, the Gemara has two problems. And the Gemara says, minolan, you're asking from where do we know that a katan is potter? Kidiktani taima? Like the Mishnah itself said, shaloi bol chametz. The Mishnah itself said the reason why a katan would be potter. Because a katan in all areas of the Torah is not chayiv in mitzvahs and is not liable for punishments for averes that he does. So why are you asking, where do we know that a katan is patur? What is wrong with the reason that the Mishnah itself gives? The su, and I have another problem with your question of katan minolan de patur. Heicha ashkechan de anashak katov, where else in the Torah do we ever find that the Torah punished a katan for something that he did? The holy boy krol mystery that over here in the parsha ben seremayr, I should need a pasuk to tell me that he's potter. So why are you asking katan minolan de potter? From where do we know that he's potter? In no din in the Torah do we need a pasuk to tell us that he's potter. The Chiddushi Haran explains the two questions of the Gemara, which both seem to be asking the same point. Is first of all, number one, the Gemara is asking that we learned in the Mishnah the tam of leibol chametz. And the Torah would not punish the katan for any aver that he's done. The second question of the Gemara is coming that to add that perhaps we might think that a katan would be punished in order to leave an impression upon others, as it says in the pasuk v'chol ha'om yishmu v'yiro, that maybe a katan doesn't get punished because an aver that he's done. However, perhaps he gets punished in order for some other reason, in order to leave an impression upon people. So this, the Gemara says, that no, we never found in the Torah a punishment given to a katan, even where there was a necessity to instill fear in others. So the Gemara is asking that there is no hava min at all to punish the katan. So why are you asking katan minolan de potter? So on this, the Gemara answers, anan hochi karmina, that our original question of katan minolan de potter was really as follows. Otu ben seira meira al chetay nerak. Is a ben seira meira really getting punished for an aver that he has done? Al shem seifay nerak. He has not done yet anything to warrant the chiyuv skila, but Hashem soifei hu nerad. He is getting punished now for that avera which the Torah says he will eventually do. So the kivon da al shem soifei nerad. So since the punishment that he's getting now is for the avera that's going to come later, afilu kotnami, perhaps a cotton should also be included. That was pasha. That was somebody gets punished for an avera that he has done. So a cotton never gets punished. A cotton is not b'chol mitzvah. However, over here, since the punishment is coming for the avera of later, so then maybe a cotton should also be in this parsha. V'oid, and we have another problem. Ben v'loy ish cotton mashma, that the very drasha that the Mishnah brings to explain the age of the ben sera moira should tell us that a cotton is included, because since the Mishnah tells us that the deities and the fact that the pasuk didn't say ish but said ben instead. So once we are coming on to the word ben, so just the opposite, ben should include cotton. If it says ish, ish means a gadol. Over here it doesn't talk about a gadol, but it talks about a ben. So a ben should include a cotton. So we have two reasons, and this is really what the Gemara is explaining the original kasha is, we have two reasons why a cotton should be included. And that was the problem of the Gemara, cotton we know on the potter. Number one, because in Svara Hashem Saifei Nerag, and number two, from the fact that the Pasuk used the word ben instead of ish, should include a cotton. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, so how do we know that a cotton is not included? The Amar Kro B'chiyil Le'ish Ben. And we are now explaining the Pasuk, that when it says Le'ish, ish is actually a description of the son. Even though the literal title in the Pasuk means V'chiyil Le'ish Ben, the word ish is going on the father, and when this father has a son, however, we are taking the word ish as a description, a modification of the type of son also. And we read the pasuk, the chiyil le'ish ben, ben hasamuch l'gvurasei shalish, a ben who is close to the full maturity of an ish. So that tells us that a cotton is not included, because it has to be samuch l'gvurasei shalish. When do we consider it gvurasei shalish? That's when it's yakif hazokin. So when do we have a samuch l'gvurasei shalish? That's from the time that he was maybe two sairis until the time of yakif hazokin. That's the age in which a person can be classified as a ben sera meir. Continues now the Gemara of Achi yakif hazokin. Hatachtoin v'loya elyin. Tani rab chiyo achi yakif atara. That when the Mishnah is talking about that the hair has to completely surround the aver, we are talking about yakif atara, that has to surround that part of the Eva which is called the Atara. Kiyotu Rabdimi, when Rabdimi came, Omar, he said that the intention of Rab Chiyah, what he came to explain when he said Yaakov Atara, was to tell us HaKofas Gid V'loi HaKofas Beitzim, that the Yaakov Zokin we are talking about is that has to surround only the Gid V'loi HaKofas Beitzim, and that is a much later stage. We are talking about an earlier stage of Akofas Giz, and already when that happens, the person is out of the Parshah Ben Sera Meir. Omer Abchisto, Kotten Shehoilid, Ein Benoi Nasa Ben Sera Meir. If a Kotten fathered a child, Abchisto Shita is that even before someone has attained the age of Godless, he can already make a woman pregnant and father a child. So if we have a case where a cotton was moilit, a cotton fathered a child, that child, ein benoi nasa ben sera meira, that child can never become a ben sera meira, because since he was born to a cotton, so he can never be chayiv skila. Shenemar, where did Avchista learn this out from? Because it says in Pasuk, ki yeh le'ish ben, and he is understanding the word ish is talking about the father, ki yeh le'ish ben, that when a father has a son, so we darshan le'ish ben v'lo le'ben ben, that it has to be that the son was born to the person, to the father, when he was an ish, when he was already a gadol. If, however, he fathered the child when he was still a cotton, so then that child can never become a ben sera meir. So on this, the Gemara asks, how do you have a right to darshan the pasuk that le'ish ben? Ish is coming to tell you about the age of the father. Haimi boile l'kadrav Yehuda marav. We need the pasuk of le'ish ben to tell me the drasha, which the Gemara brought earlier, of Rabbi Yehuda marav, that le'ish is a description not of the father, but le'ish is a description of the son. and we take the phrase together, le'ish ben, to tell me the drasha of ben ha-samuch l'kvuras ish al-ish. So how does Rav Chista have a right to learn out that ish is a miyut in the father, that the father had to have been a gadol? So on this the Gemara says, im kain, if it was only coming for the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda Merav, lema kro ki yed ben le'ish, if the word ish was only a description of the son, so then it should have said the word ish after the word ben. And it should have said, ki yeh ben le'ish. My ki yeh le'ish ben. But the fact that the Torah preceded the word ish to the word ben, shma mino l'kud Rav Chista. So I can learn out from the pasuk Rav Chista's halacha, and the word ish is going on the father. At what age the father has to be? So on this, the Gemara now asks, the aim of kulei l'hach yuda asa. So maybe I only know Rav Chista's drasha. From the fact that the Torah wrote le'ish ben, maybe the word ish is only going on the father. So how do I now know Rabbi Yehuda Merav to tell me this din of ben ha-samuch l'gvurat ha-shalish? So the Gemara answers in Cain, if it was only coming for the drasha of Rav Chista, name a krah ben ish, the Torah should have written without a lamed, and the Torah should have said ki yeh ben ish, and then we'll be talking about the son of an ish, and ish would only be going on the father. My le'ish ben, from the fact that the Torah wrote the word ish before ben, but included also a lamed, le'ish ben, shma mino tarti. That's from the fact that the word ish comes before ben, ish is going on the father, a description of the father. When it says, ki yeh le'ish ben, so that lamed connects it, and it makes it a ben ha-samuch l'gvurat ha-shalish. So therefore I can learn out both halachos, I learn out Rav Chista's halacha, and I learn out Rav Yehuda Amarab's drasha. Gemara now says, Upligo de Rabba, that this that Rav Chista assumed, that a cotton can also father a child, he is in direct argument with Rabba. The Omar Rabba, Rabba holds, cotton in a moilid, that a cotton cannot father a child. A person had to have attained a stage of godless in order to be able to father a child. Shenemar, where does Rabba learn out that a cotton cannot be moilid? Shenemar says in Pasuk, Im ein le'ish goyel. This is a parsha in the Torah which tells us that if somebody steals money and then he swears falsely to the fact that he has not stolen it and is later proven that it was a false shvuah, so the halacha is he is chayiv to pay the person the keren, the amount of money that he has stolen, plus an additional chaymish, and he has to bring a carbon. If the person whom the money was stolen from has already died, so then he must return the money to the Yarshim, to his closest Yerush. The pasuk then went on to say, the im ein le'ish goyel, and if this person has no goyel, has no relative who can inherit him, so then the money is given to the Kohanim. So the Braisa asks, the chiyesh lo adam b'Yisrael she'ein lo goyel, is there a possible that there's a person in Klal Yisrael who has no relative? How far back you have to go, no matter how distant the cousin will be, but there's always some relative who will be the closer Yerush. Because by the din by Yerusha is that you always look at the closest Yerush. But if there's no closest Yerush, you go further away. But there's always going to be some distant cousin that everybody in Klal Yisrael has. So what does the pasuk mean? Im ein le'ish goyel, elo begezel hager akosim medaber. The Torah is talking about this particular pasuk if you stole from a ger. Because when somebody becomes a ger, so he loses all his relationships. Ger shen is gayer kakotin shenay ladami. When a person becomes a ger, when a goy accepts upon himself kedushas Yisrael, so he's kakotin shenay la. He's like a newborn person. And all the relationships that he had, father, brother, all those relatives are no longer considered as relatives. So when somebody becomes a ger, that's a possibility of a person without any relatives. But the pasuk said him English goyel. In means if, that it's, we have to check it out. If this ger doesn't have yorshim, it's possible that the ger could have yorshim. How could the ger have yorshim? That if, after he became a ger, he fathered a child, so that child will certainly be his yorish. So when you steal money from a ger, so then if that ger has died, the pasuk says you must check out and find out if he has yorshim. If he had a child after he became a ger, so then the money is given to the child. If, however, he did not have any children, so then he has no other relative, so then the money is given to the Kohanim. But we are a daik in the Pasuk, v'omer achmona ish. It says in Pasuk, im ein le'ish goyel. So ish atzatzach lachzer olav im yesh v'goyelin v'im lav.
When do you have to check concerning a ger to see whether he has yorshim or not? That's only if the ger was an ish. If the ger had already become a gadol, so then a gadol can have children. So then the Torah tells you have to check to see if he had any children, if he has yorshim or not. But katan, but if this ger was a katan, iyata tzarich lachzor olav, you do not have to check to see if he has any yorshim. Biyodua, it's a given fact, she'en legoyelin, that he has no yorshim. And so we see from this pasuk that a katan can't be moilit, that as a katan he couldn't have fathered a child, so the only other relatives were brothers or fathers, and those were luas when he became a ger, so we don't have to check. So Rava brings a raya from the way the Gemara darshan this pasuk, that a katan cannot be moilit. Taisus on Samach Zayinim at Beis asks a very fundamental question on the Gemara. From the Gemara we see that a katan who is a ger could own money, and the parsha of stealing from a katan that's a ger is applicable. And if he dies, the money will be given to the kohanim. So the question Taisus has is, how could the katan have owned any money, and it would be possible that the pasuk could be talking about a case where somebody stole something from a katan? Because min ha-Torah, a katan is considered lacking the required das, and therefore min ha-Torah, a katan cannot make any acquisition. He cannot make a kinyan. There is no problem with a katan being the owner of something, but the problem is not having the proper das to make a kinyan. So how could it be possible that the Torah tells you that if he's not an ish, if he's a katan, you don't have to check, but you see that you could steal money from a katan? Where could the katan have owned money? So Taisus gives us three possibilities. Number one, Taisus tells us a new yisoid called das acheres makna, that if someone transferred something to the katan, even though the katan himself, the kaina, the one who is receiving the money, is lacking the das, but the makna, the one who is giving the object to the katan, his das can help to effect the transfer. So this yisoid of das acheres makna is that not only does the das of the kaina help to acquire something, but if the kaina is somebody who cannot have das, as long as the kaina does the act of kinyan, the das to create the kinyan can be provided by the makna. Number two, a second possibility Taisus gives, is that this katan could have acquired the money in question through inheriting his father while he was still a goy. Inheritance is a type of acquisition that doesn't require any das. Even a katan can be Yerush. So while still a goy, his father died, and he inherited the money, and then he became a ger. And someone who becomes a ger retained ownership of all that he owned before. So then somebody stole the money from him. So we have the din in question that if he dies, the money goes to the kain. Number three, Taisus holds that if a katan worked, the wages paid to him will become his without a kinyan, which would be another case of how a katan could own money. Taisus also discusses another issue, is how did this katan become a ger? If a katan doesn't have das, so how did the ger become effective? So what ger is the Torah talking about? A ger katan, how is that possible? So Taisus has two approaches. Number one, Taisus gets into a long discussion about the Gemara in Ksubis and Afir Aleph from Aleph that brings the concept of ger katan matbilin oisay al das bezin, that there is a way to take a ger katan and to betoivel him, make him a ger through the das of bezin. And Taisus discusses how that geris works, but that would be one approach to having a ger katan. Number two, Taisus says, another possibility would be that if there was a case of a geisha woman who was pregnant, and she decided to become a ger while being a muberes, so the geris on the mother will also be an effective geris for that child that she is carrying. And when the child is born, he will be considered a ger, and the geris was done through the mother. These are two possible cases of what ger katan the Gemara is talking about.